Hello and welcome to this edition of Gospel Points, where the gospel is the point. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson. Thanks for joining us once again. And today we've got a great episode here lined up. We have Les Lamphier back with us. Les, welcome back to Gospel Points.
Thank you for having me once again.
Well, Les, a couple years ago, I was on Google, and I was trying to find a sermon from James White. I don't remember what sermon it was, but I was Googling James White, and one of the Google search responses was James White drinking game. And I thought, what in the world is this? And so I clicked it on, and that was my introduction to the Reform Pubcast.
Wow. Which
you are the co-host. And man, it is such a, I was hooked from the very beginning. I'm not even that much of a beer drinker, but man, I was just sucked in. It was a great experience. I've been hooked ever since. And so first, thanks for taking the time and doing all that. But tell us, how did you get an idea to do a podcast on Reformed theology and drinking?
Real quick, the reason we ever got like James White and then all the people who probably came on because James White came on, the reason James White came on is because Summer Pinch, James White's daughter, was doing some searches for her dad's name and came across episode 2, James White Drinking Game. And she was like, what is this? She listened to it, and then she made her dad come on the show. Huh. And I don't know if longtime listeners know that the most notorious moment in the history of our show is when James White was on, yeah, and we tried to play Would You Rather with him. Which was it is easily the most embarrassing moment that we've ever had on the show, and it is my favorite by far. But anyway, so Tanner and I have been friends for a long time. We actually, the real origin story is of the show is that we became really obsessed with the TV show Breaking Bad, and we would hang out and get, it was the final season, the last 8 episodes of Breaking Bad. Every, what was it, was it Sunday night or Monday night? I don't remember. But we would go over to his house. We would cook breakfast for dinner, lots of bacon, and then we would watch Breaking Bad and smoke hookah. And it was awesome. And during that time, we both got really, really obsessed with behind-the-scenes Breaking Bad podcasts. Because we loved Breaking Bad so much. So we started listening to all these podcasts, and then those podcasts led to other like entertainment podcasts, and we just became – I mean, we were already into podcasts like The Dividing Line and Fighting for the Faith and stuff like that. But this sort of like opened up the entertainment side of podcasting, and we just became podcast junkies. And so as we're doing this every week meeting up tradition – and then during the week listening to these podcasts, eventually, like, we both came up with the idea essentially at the same time. And the next time we saw each other, it's like, hey, dude, so I really think we should start a podcast. And he was like, yeah, me too. Like, so, and then Marcus Pittman had a Facebook group. It was called Reform Brew. And the night before we recorded our podcast, I went into the Reform Brew group and I said, hey, I want to start a podcast. I think I'm going to call it Reform Brew because I like your group so much. And Marcus Pittman was like, absolutely not. That's the name of my group. You cannot have this name. I think he wanted to do a podcast. We're really good friends now. And we can both laugh about this story, but I think we really did not hit it off well. But anyways, so I was like, oh, okay. So I won't use that name. And then in that thread in Marcus Pittman's group, somebody said, why don't you call it the Reformed Pubcast? And so literally just some off-the-cuff guy mentioned it, and the next day we recorded the show, and we're like, I think we'll call this show the Reform Pubcast. And then the next day, after we recorded it, we went into Facebook, and we started a group, and we called the group the Reformed Pub. And it was so initially it was solely a fan club for our podcast.
So – Did you during those early days, do you ever think, man, this is just going to take off? I mean,
No.
It's incredible how this thing has just blown up, and it's great that it's happened. But tell us, how did that start to build?
That is a really good question. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, like Tanner and I love beer, and we love the Lord, and we love talking about Reformed theology. So we obviously thought it would be an interesting enough podcast. I mean, we were really just making the podcast that, like, because again, we were listening to these entertainment shows, we were listening to great solid theology shows like The Dividing Line, and for us, it was just like, let's make an entertainment Christian podcast that's super solid in its theology, and let's just have a fun time drinking beer and talking about theology. And I mean, so it made sense to us, and it was definitely the show that we would listen to. So that's what we made. And I guess there was an audience for it. And then, the pub just sort of became its own entity, and like people were flooding in there, and then they were discovering the show, by accidentally becoming a part of our fan club.
Wait, there's a podcast?
Exactly. So yeah, it's been pretty organic, the growth over time. But yeah, it just keeps kind of increasing. So it's a blessing.
For me, it's been a blessing, but it's also been, I don't know how to say this, an aid to my growth to some degree. I'm assuming most of my listeners, all five of them, we come from more of a fundamentalist background. You know, I went to the schools and the colleges where you don't go to movie theaters, you don't play cards, and certainly alcohol's not in the picture at all. And listening to you guys, I thought, man, okay, I'm just coming out of this, and I'm just accepting that that's okay. You know, it's okay for a Christian to enjoy alcoholic beverages, and you guys are you're smoking your hookah pipe for talking tattoos, and it's been, wow, it's kind of been eye opening, but at the same time, here are guys who love the Lord and are passionate about theology and passionate about sound interpretation of the scripture, yet at the same time enjoying what God has given us. And I know you faced some criticism about that, especially recently, after the Reform Con. How do you handle that criticism when you say, hey, listen, you're abusing the liberty you have in Christ?
So that's been it's just been another area in which I needed to experience to grow. So, neither Tanner nor I have ever been in any kind of, position to be publicly scrutinized before. Right. It's never anything we really had to face. And fortunately, we got to experience it in little doses as we were becoming sort of, a little, you know, I'm not trying to say that we're like in the spotlight or anything, but right. But whatever sort of popularity the show has, the group has, it's been organic enough by God's grace that we actually have had time to make mistakes, and they weren't in front of millions of people or something like that, you know. So I think the thing that we've learned the most about criticism is I am more than happy to hear worthwhile criticism, and almost in most of the most meaningful criticisms about the pub and about the show come to me through emails and through personal messages of people that care about me, may not necessarily even know me. But they care about my soul. They don't want to see me making a mistake. So they'll point out to me that they feel I've made a mistake, or I've done something that is potentially ungodly, or even blatantly ungodly. And they lovingly call me to repent of my error or my behavior. And that's true of pretty much any part of my life, not just, you know, the pub and the show, every area of my life that, you know, if somebody loves me, I'm going to listen to them. If somebody doesn't seem like they would rather me, fall off the planet or just disappear because they seem to hate me, that's not a great way to approach a person. So what we've learned through trial and error, through making mistakes, through potentially even sin, is do not return evil for evil, first of all, which we have done in the past. Ultimately, we learned that there's certain kind of personalities in the world, unfortunately, even in the church, that feed off of criticism or feed off of controversy, feed off of conflict. So have you seen Batman v Superman?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in Batman v Superman, they introduce it's a monster that in the comic books is the monster that killed Superman back in the 90s when Superman died and then came back in that weird like lightning suit. His name was Doomsday. And Doomsday is interesting because the more you hurt Doomsday, the more powerful he becomes. Mm-hmm. So any kind of attacks on Doomsday makes him more powerful, and he grows horns, and he just gets like full of these plates, and he gets bigger and more powerful. And it turns out that is a superpower that exists in the Christian world, yeah, apparently,
right,
with some people out there. So if you focus your attention back on people, it's exactly what they're looking for. They want to fight. And that's so I'm not saying as a rule of thumb I ignore criticism. I don't. But with some people, you don't – I guess the term is you don't feed the troll.
Right.
Because that's what they want. They feed on it. And if there's any legitimate concerns, we've had to retract statements that we've said on the show because they were in error, and we're happy to do it. We just did it actually this week. We made some corrections on things we said before. We're happy to do it. If we behave in a way that's inappropriate, if somebody points it out to me lovingly and shows me my sin, I want to hear that. I want to. If you have not love, you are a banging gong, and you're not like, I'm not going to hear you. That's just the nature of humanity. I will not hear you. I'm sorry. Approach me in love, and I will be happy to hear you.
One of the things I love about the pubcast, and even to some degree the pub Facebook group, is that you guys aren't overplaying your hand. You realize who you are. Though you certainly have, you mentioned a spotlight, you certainly have an audience. You have a platform which you can talk about theology, you can proclaim the gospel, but you recognize that this isn't a church. You aren't pastors. You don't have authority that comes with the church. And I just want to say thank you for that perspective, which is very helpful, and it's good for people to see that, because it's easy to get corrupted in just a little bit of power that you might have.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for mentioning that, because we try very hard to make that point abundantly clear. And I honestly think that a lot of people even have criticized it because they feel like it's a cop-out. But I honestly think that one of the most important things we've ever done is that silly disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
Right.
And it's there for fun. It's there. It's there because I was learning a little bit of audio engineering and like how to play around with sound effects and stuff. And I thought that would be a cool use of it. But I want people up front. The pub needs to be reminded, not like individuals in particular that I can think of, but the group itself just needs to constantly remember that these people, these arguments you're in, this isn't your church. And anybody who has a louder voice than somebody else and puts their foot down doesn't make them any kind of authority. They're not your elder. They're not your pastor.
Right.
We are not your pastors. And that's sort of the danger that can come along with a show like ours, because we are speaking about not only important matters, but we're talking about them with confidence. So when you speak that way, you are almost inherently speaking with authority.
Right.
Actually it's my current pastor. He wasn't my pastor yet, but, he was one of the most important, parts in really making me realize that. I mean, early on, we would remind people, listen, we'll try to answer your question, but, you really should go to your pastor about this. That was something we cared about. But, my pastor kind of pulled me aside one day and he's like, listen, I'm kind of concerned about the show that you're doing because, there's just no way around the fact that you're talking about these things and you're kind of stating them as true.
Right.
Whether you're right or not, you're still almost claiming a position of authority.
Right.
And I made it up in my mind that, like, all right, people have to know there can be no question that what you're listening to right now, it no matter how nice we sound, you better double check it, you know?
Right. And that's so important because you are uplifting the church, God's body, God's bride, which is so important. It still surprises me how many believers want and crave a substitute for what God has given us. I mean, I'm a Christian school teacher, and I have to fight that almost on a daily basis and tell kids I'm happy to answer your questions. I'm happy to preach to you. I'm happy to teach this, but I am not a substitute for what God has for you. This is God's plan for your sanctification. This is God's plan for your spiritual growth. It is the local church, and nothing usurps that authority.
That's right.
Well, Les, thanks so much for taking the time these past 2 weeks, although it's really, we've done this in an hour. thanks so much for taking the time with us. And, I want to invite the listeners, go check out, if you haven't already, you probably already have, because if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've listened to other podcasts. The Reformed Pub cast, check it out. We'll have a link to it on our website. And check it out on Facebook, The Reformed Pub. It's great. It's fun. And look for those questions each weekend, right before each podcast. You ask a question. I've gotten on your program a couple times, but hey, just reading my answers. So.
Awesome. Oh, you've been on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yet, but you know, I'm waiting for that phone call.
Gotcha. I didn't even realize that. That's fantastic. Thank you for calling.
Well, again,
is this is the Kickstarter still going on this week?
Yes.
It is. Can I mention it again?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, if you listened last week, I'm making a movie. It's called Calvinist. It's still in the crowdfunding stage. So if you would like to go over to Kickstarter, look up Calvinist, just type in the word Calvinist, and there is a pledge drive fundraising thing going on. As I said last week, the more money the thing gets, the better the movie's going to be. So if this is a project that you are interested in, go watch the video. If you like it, donate. If you can't afford it, please don't donate. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Les, and thank you all for listening. Don't forget to check out our blog at www.kevinjthompson.info, and don't forget to rate us on iTunes. And if you're there on iTunes, why not rate the Reformed Pubcast as well? So thanks for listening, and we'll see you back next week. Thanks for listening.